Amen. Let's take our Bibles, please, and turn to 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1, identifying sin. 1 John 1. And Brother Jim, would you lead us in prayer, please, sir? First John chapter 1 and verse 8. 1 John 1 and verse 8. The Bible says, if we say that we have no sin, we what? Deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us. Identifying sin. You know, it's so easy. Verse 8 says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. So it's easy when you read a verse like that and say, well, okay, everybody's a sinner. So, you know what? If I mess up, it's no big deal. Everybody messes up. But the problem is we kind of generalize it then. And we really will not be helped unless we find the problem, find the sin, and so we can repent of it. How many of you have ever experienced in your home a plumbing leak, a faucet or something? Yeah. So you have to find out where the water is going. In one of our bathroom vanities, the cupboards recently, there was kind of like a swimming pool below it. And so I had to figure out where the water is coming from. Well, it was coming from inside of the faucet. So I just had to replace the whole faucet. But so you have to find the problem, or it really quick destroys wood products, especially pressed wood products. It quickly destroys. So identifying the sin. So, you know, it's easy just to say, well, hey, no one's perfect. Well, that's true, verse 8. No one is. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But we need to identify the problems. If we have problems, we need to identify them. And according to verse 8, we all have problems. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. So there are many passages that tell us about the sinfulness of mankind. Notice in Numbers 32. Numbers 32. And verse 13, Numbers 32:13. Numbers 32:13. The Bible says, and the Lord's anger was kindled against Israel, and He made them wander in the wilderness 40 years, until all the generation that had done evil in the sight of the Lord was consumed. And behold, ye are risen up in your father's stead, an increase of what? Sinful men, to augment yet the fierce anger of the Lord toward Israel. Okay, the Bible is clear there that the previous generation had been sinful men. Well, it's easy to blame a lot on the previous generation, but until we find the problem, we can't fix it. You know, if we just say, well, yeah, that was a sinful generation. Our generation is sinful. Well, how do we fix it? What is wrong? One of the tires on our vehicles went flat. And I don't know if you have the same struggle, but with these newer cars, they're putting like all aluminum rims, most generally. You know, back years ago, it was all steel wheels with hubcaps that just pressed on them or sometimes bolted on them. Well, we didn't used to have this trouble, but now with these aluminum rims, it seems like they oxidize, at least the year of the vehicles we get. They oxidize, and then the tires start losing air. And so you keep pumping it up and pumping it up and pumping it up. So sometimes I take it into the tire place, and they will take the tire off and clean up the whole rim, put it back on. That works for a while, and then it starts losing air again. So we didn't know if that was the issue with this tire, but we took it in, and he said, no, there was a nail in that tire, and it bent over and took a big gouge out of the sidewall. And so he said, the tire has to be replaced. Well, so if I would have just thought, well, it's just that leaky tire again, so I'll just keep pumping it up. Well, I could have had a blowout with that. So we need to pinpoint the problem. Let's go also then to Isaiah chapter 1. Isaiah chapter 1. We can readily say that our nation is sinful, but you know what? We need to pinpoint some of the problems, and so we can fix them, hopefully, Lord willing. Isaiah 1 in verse 4. The Bible says, ah, what? Sinful nation. There's that word again, sinful. Sinful nation. A people laden with what? Iniquity. A seed of what? Evildoers. Children that are what? Corrupters. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel into anger. They are gone away backward. Okay. Well, it's a sinful nation. It's a people laden with iniquity. It's a seed of evildoers. It's children that are corrupters. But we've got to pinpoint, okay, let's start on something. We've got to deal with something specific that we can deal with. So we need to identify sin. Let's go to Amos chapter 9. Amos chapter 9 and verse 8. Amos chapter 9 and verse 8. You know, it's like, oh, there's a water spot on the ceiling. The roof must be leaking water. I think I'll hire somebody to replace all the shingles. Wouldn't that be a great idea? Well, to help support the shinglers, I guess, but it might not necessarily cost that much. It might be one spot that needs to be fixed. We need to pinpoint the problem. Amos 9 and verse 8. Amos 9, 8. Behold, the eyes of the Lord God are upon what? The sinful kingdom. And I will what? Destroy it from off the face of the earth. Saving that I will not utterly destroy the house of Jacob, saith the Lord. Well, wow, if the Lord is saying here his eyes are on the sinful kingdom and he's going to destroy it off from the face of the earth, I would think it'd be pretty important to find out what the problem is, don't you? I mean, if he's going to destroy the nation, we need to identify what the problem is. Well, when it comes to our nation, what? You know, we can just say, wow, our nation is in such trouble. Well, let's identify some things so we can pray and if we have the ability to do something about it. Well, let's look at Leviticus 18. Leviticus 18 in verse 22. Leviticus 18:22. We can identify some problems with our nation. Leviticus 18:22, the Bible says, thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is what? Abomination. So we have this same gender attraction today going on, and it seems to be getting more popular, the Sodomite revolution. God says this is an abomination to him. And then it goes another step, verse 23. Neither shalt thou lie with what? Any beast to defile thyself therewith. Neither shall any woman stand before a beast to lie down thereto. It is confusion. Defile not ye yourselves in any of these things. For in all these the nations are defiled, which I what? Cast out before you. Now we've just seen God's eyes are on the sinful kingdom. And he's going to destroy that nation from off the face of the earth. Now we're seeing right here one of the specific sins that we can identify that will cause God to destroy a nation. And that is sodomy, verse 22, and bestiality in verse 23. Now this crowd says, well, what's wrong with me loving who I want to love? Well, we're to love everyone, but we're not to be immoral with people. And that's what you're talking about. You're talking about an immoral intimacy. How many of you have pets? Okay, how many of you love your pets? Okay. So you can love your pet without being vile and perverted and an immoral intimacy. I won't ask you how many of you kiss your pet goodnight, but I'm not talking about that anyway. But there's nothing wrong. We are to love everyone, but we are not to have the license to be immoral with people, or, as I said, a perversion with animals. So verse 24, defile not ye yourselves in any of these things. For in all these the nations are defiled, which I cast out before you. So we're talking about the Canaanites. We're talking about those people that God had them drive out. Verse 25, and the land is what? Defiled. Therefore I do visit the iniquity thereof upon it, and the land itself vomiteth out her inhabitants. The land gets the stomach flu over these sins. The land itself vomiteth out her inhabitants. Ye shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, and shall not commit any of these abominations, neither any of your own nation, nor any stranger that sojourneth among you. For all these abominations have the men of the land done, which were before you, and the land is what? Defiled. That the land spew not you out also, when ye defile it, as it spewed out the nations that were before you. And it goes on there. So these are some of the things I look at when I'm preparing to vote. When those opportunities arise, these are some of the things that I look at. Okay, can I find some candidates that stand against sodomy, that stand against bestiality, that do not cave? One of our grocery stores here in town, I was really saddened. I think I told you some time ago, it was in June, because June is the so-called Pride Month of the Sodomites. And in one of our grocery stores in town, they had a whole shelf unit that's kind of out in the middle of an aisle where they kind of feature certain things. And it was filled with sodomite things to sell. And I was really disappointed. And then I was just at that place, I think it was this last week, getting gas. And on their gas pump was the little screen there. They were advertising, promoting, or patting themselves on the back, I guess. But there were three different awards they won, were given. And one, it was like a wonderful place to work. And one of the certificates was from the LGBT and the rest of the alphabet, giving them an award, recognizing them for, I don't know their wording, but pleasing that crowd. Okay. And I'm thinking, to sell products, why do you have to promote some perverted lifestyle? I think they would well stay in business without doing that. But it's really sad, because those are the things that will destroy nations. So when we're looking, whether it's voting or praying, we need to ask the Lord, Lord, would you please help me to identify the sins of our nation that are not pleasing you, and I will try my best to find out information of these candidates. Who is on the Lord's side? Who is on the Lord's side? Notice with me in Joshua chapter 24. Joshua chapter 24. These things will destroy a nation. So we need leaders, if possible. And sometimes there are no leaders that will take a stand. And so we just have to do the best we can to try to find some. But Joshua 24:15. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, what? Choose you this day whom ye will serve. Whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will what? Serve the Lord. So I try to look ahead. What is the best for our nation? Well, I've got to identify the besetting sins of our land. And I, to my best of my ability, I need to try to get leaders who will follow God's word. Let's go to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. And we find the same thing. So, some people might say, well, that's just Old Testament. Well, it's in the New Testament, very clear as well. And Romans 1:24. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to what? Dishonor their own bodies between themselves. So in God's eyes, this is very dishonorable. Verse 25, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause, God gave them up unto what? Vile affections. So when they say, well, I can love whoever I want to love. Well, that doesn't give you license to have vile affections. For even their women did change the what? Natural use into that which is against nature. You know, whether it's sodomites or evolutionists, they're all about nature. You know, oh yeah, this is the way it happened in nature. No, God says it's against nature. It changes the natural use into that which is against nature. Verse 27, and likewise also the men, leaving the what? Natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is what? Unseemly. And receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God and their knowledge, God gave them over to what? A reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. You know, if you allow yourself to be immersed into a culture, an atmosphere where there's just vile perversion, you know, after a while you begin to think, well, maybe you don't think it's okay, but it doesn't bother you anymore. It's kind of like, you know, when you're thrust into an atmosphere where someone is constantly swearing and using God's name in vain, it's so grievous. But you know what? If you listen to it day in and day out, you just get numb to it. That's the way sin is. You just get numb to it. So God says this is vile. He says it is against nature, and it defiles the land. And America is guilty of both things. Now, this grocery store chain that has chosen to align themselves and to promote themselves with the sodomite group, it's going to be to their detriment. And, you know, I'm not saying what God's going to do. I'm not saying God's going to destroy their store chain this week, this month, this year. But you know what? They're helping to defile our nation. And God says He will destroy a nation that will do that. So, America is guilty of both sins. both sodomy and bestiality. America is guilty of another sin. Look at Numbers 35. Numbers 35. We've got to identify what it is that is causing us to be an abomination in God's sight. Remember what we talked about this morning? The battle of Ai, the battle of Jericho. The children of Israel had such an easy time with the battle of Jericho. Why was it? They listened for God's instructions. March around the city six times, once a day. On the seventh day, march around it seven times. Don't speak, don't say anything until that seventh day. And at that seventh day, blast the trumpets, the trumpet, the horns, and shout. The walls fell down flat. And so the next battle, Ai, they just assumed this is going to be another pushover. Just send 2,000 or 3,000. The problem was is they had not identified the sin that had taken place. Achan had stolen of the things that God said were accursed. And he stole them, hid them in his tent. The sad thing is that the very next battle, God would tell them, take all that you want. Just sin always promises something that's not to be had or not to be had at that time. And it's like just around the corner, there's blessings. But sin always entices people to take that which is forbidden. But we're looking at another thing here now in Numbers 35, 31. Numbers 35, 31. Moreover, ye shall take no satisfaction for the life of a what? Murderer, which is guilty of death, but he shall be surely put to death. And ye shall take no satisfaction for him that has fled to the city of his refuge, that he should come again to dwell in the land until the death of the priest. So a murderer is someone that had premeditated the act, did it on purpose. Verse 32 is talking about situations that would be considered like manslaughter. It would be like involuntary. It would be something that was not premeditated, something that was accidental. And it gives the illustration of if you were chopping with your axe in the woods and the axe head flies off from it and hits your fellow woodcutters, one of them kills them. Then you would have to go to the city of refuge and stay there until the death of the high priest. Which would remind the person, listen, you were careless. You didn't mean to kill somebody, but you were careless. And it did result in the death. So now you're going to have to suffer the inconvenience of living in the city of refuge until the high priest dies. That could be next year or that could be in 40 years. So it just depends. But so it helped people to be careful. You know, if we treated our cars with the same care that pilots treat their airplanes, there'd probably be a lot less accidents. I mean, they thoroughly check out things. And certain number of hours, the airframe's got to be inspected. Certain number of hours, the engine has to be overhauled. And so there's these pre-flight inspections. I mean, how many of us walk around our cars before we get in them and check the tires and check the oil, check the radiator, the brake fluid? Why are they so particular about airplanes? Well, I suppose because much of an error could be fatal. And we just take cars for granted. Oh, well, the tire goes flat, the tire blows. I might be able to keep it in control. Maybe, maybe not. But we're not careful. So that verse 32 taught people to be careful. But verse 31 is clear. The murderer, it was to be put to death. And that still applies. And of course, it isn't up to us. It's up to our government. But we'll look at that in a moment. But verse 33. So ye shall not what? Pollute the land wherein ye are. For what? Blood. Blood, it defileth the land. And the land cannot be cleansed of the blood that is shed therein. But by what? the blood of him that shed it. Defile not therefore the land which ye shall inhabit, wherein I dwell, for I, the Lord, dwell among the children of Israel. So it comes up, should we have the death penalty today? Some states still do. Michigan does not. But let's look at Romans 13. Romans chapter 13. And verse 1, Romans 13, 1. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be what? Afraid. For he beareth not what? The sword in vain. For he is the minister of God, a what? A revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. Now those words, a revenger. The avenger of blood in the Old Testament would have been the next of kin. When somebody murdered someone, the next of kin had the permission to go and kill the murderer. And that's why there were the cities of refuge, because if someone was killed accidentally, that person did not deserve the death penalty, but to stay in the city of refuge. But I want you to notice here, so God gives this power in the New Testament time to government, and it's still, government still has the God-given authority to put murderers to death, even though a lot of states do not do it. But let's look at another, this in verse 4 here. It said, but if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. So we're not talking about a jail cell. We're not talking about a whipping. It says he beareth not what? The sword in vain. You don't spank someone with a sword. You know, the Bible talks about a rod for the back of the fool. So that would be corporal punishment. The government would have the authority to mete out corporal punishment, which in the New Testament time would have been a scourging, a whipping, or the rod. But here it's specifically talking about for the murderer, we're talking about the government bears not the sword in vain. You kill with the sword. You don't spank with the sword. You kill. Government has that God-given authority. Now, you may say, well, our state doesn't do it. Well, you know then what it's doing? It's putting blood on our soil in Michigan. Back in Numbers 35. Numbers 35. And of course, we could get into the details. There had to be at least two or three witnesses in this situation before you could convict someone and put them to death. In Numbers 35, and verse 31, well, actually, we can just go down to verse 33. Numbers 35, 33. So ye shall not pollute the land wherein ye dwell, for what? Blood. Blood, it defileth the land, and the land cannot be cleansed of the blood that is shed therein, but by what? The blood of him that shed it. That's what God says. Romans 13 gives that permission to government to bear the sword to deal with murderers. So, what's happening to all these states that refuse to obey God? Well, we're polluting our ground. All the murders that happen, just think what's going on in Chicago. All the murders. I mean, it's like a war zone down there. It's terrible. But not only that, you think of abortion. Remember, we're trying to identify sin that will bring about the destruction of our land. Well, abortion is taking an innocent life. I commend the state of Texas. They just passed a law that if a fetal heartbeat can be detected, in other words, if a baby's heartbeat can be detected, then that woman cannot have an abortion legally. The only thing is, you know what? These people have no morals. I just wonder how many walk into an abortion center and the doctor never even checks for a heartbeat. Or if they do and hear a heartbeat, just say, nope, I didn't hear anything. So I'm sure multitudes are totally disregarding the law, but I commend the state of Texas for making the law, but oh wow, people have come unglued against the state of Texas. What state was it? I don't know if it was Oregon or Washington. At first, or maybe it was a city in that state, said, no more dealing with Texas. They reversed that, but it's really a shame. You know, how many people would like it if you called a first responder to an accident scene? You have several people injured, and the first responders look at one person and they, no, I don't care about them. Their heart's still beating, but I don't care about them. Let them die. And, you know, just pick or choose. Or worse yet, if only one ambulance is available and four people are mortally wounded if they don't get help. And so can you imagine first responders saying, well, we can only save one. Get out the suction machine. Suction out the brains of the three of those people. I know their hearts are all still beating. Suction out the brains of three of them, and let's just take this one to the hospital. You'd say, how ghastly. That's exactly what they do in many abortions. Partial birth abortions. They deliver the baby just enough where they can get to the head, and they do that exact thing. They suction out the brains of that baby and then declare it a fetal mass. It's barbaric. It's absolutely barbaric, but that's exactly what goes on. We think in America, every day on the average, over 3,000 babies are aborted in America every day. Do you think we might be in trouble with God about that? Yeah, I would say so. Big trouble with God about that. He says the land cannot be cleansed of the blood that is shed therein, but by the blood of him that shed it. That is as barbaric as you can get. So we need to identify the sin. And so we need to pray. When we have the chance, we need to do our homework and vote. And I would just encourage you, don't forget the primaries. You know, a lot of times in the general election, we're left with choices we really sometimes don't like. But you know what? If we don't vote in the primaries, and I'm just thinking about the primary that just passed, I tried to do my research, and the best one where we live, the best one that I could find, didn't make it through the primaries. So I just encourage you, listen, this is serious. It's a serious matter. And you know, let's go back to 1 John 1:8. I think it goes back to it like it's, oh, well, all the candidates are sinners. That's true. Everybody's a sinner. That's true. 1 John 1:8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. But let us not say, oh, well, everybody's a sinner. It really doesn't matter. No, when you identify the sins, there are certain specific sins that God says defile the land, pollute the land. Well, he will destroy the nation out of the land. The land itself will vomit out the inhabitants. There, we need to identify these sins, and we need to pray. And, of course, We need to make this more than just a nation. It's ourselves. You know, we're really in a pathetic situation if we just say, well, 1 John 1:8, everybody's a sinner. What does it matter? No, if we want to get close to God, we need to pray, Lord, help me to identify in my life what is not pleasing to you so that I can please you and that you can use me to be a light. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Lord, please help us. Lord, we so generalize sin that we end up basically excusing sin. And Lord, I pray that you would help us. We need your help. We need to identify the problems that are not pleasing you. The problems that will destroy our land, the problems in our own lives that will destroy our lives, that will destroy our homes. Lord, please help us to identify those areas and then by thy grace, with thy help, bring the needed correction. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name.